I'd like you to open your Bibles tonight to Matthew chapter 25, we're going to commence reading from the first verse down to verse 13. This is the parable of the 10 virgins and the bridegroom. Matthew chapter 25, commence reading from verse 1. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins, which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. And 5 of them were wise, and 5 were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight there was a cry made, "Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him." Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, "Give us your oil, for our lamps are gone out." But the wise answered, saying, "Not so, lest there be not enough for us and you, but go ye rather to them that sell and buy for yourselves." And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Afterward came also the other virgins, saying, "Lord, Lord, open to us." But he answered and said, "Verily I say unto you, I know ye not. Watch therefore, for ye know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh." Amen. We pray that God would bless the reading of His Word. On early dawn of December 7th, 1941, the Japanese attacked the American Navy fleet in Hawaii in Pearl Harbor. Many on the island were still sleeping. It was a Sunday. Some were just awakening. Some were just at their breakfast. On the decks of the ships, the flags were being raised while crews sang the national anthem. Suddenly came the angry scream of diving planes flashing through the sky. Soon, the sound of machine guns, roaring and falling, exploding bombs destroyed the calm of that Sunday morning as death descended from the sky. The attack sank 4 U.S. Navy battleships and damaged 4 more. The Japanese also sank or damaged 3 cruisers, 3 destroyers, 1 mine layer, and destroyed 188 aircraft. The personal loss was 2,402 killed and 1,282 wounded. The U.S. ships and personnel there that day were totally unprepared for what occurred. But the fact is, they should have been prepared. They had been warned time and time again of such a threat. On January 27, 1941, Dr. Ricardo Schreiber, the Peruvian envoy in Tokyo, told the secretary at the U.S. Embassy that he had learned from intelligence sources of a war plan involving a surprise attack upon Pearl Harbor. This information was sent to the State Department and Naval Intelligence. It was sent to the Admiral in Hawaii, but it was ignored. On March 31st, 1941, a Navy report predicted that if Japan made war in the U.S., they would strike Pearl Harbor without warning at dawn with aircraft. It was ignored. On August 10th, 1941, a top British agent told the FBI that a planned attack on Pearl Harbor would occur very soon. He also reported that a senior Japanese naval person had gone to Toronto to collect the secret data on the attack there. It was ignored. And there are far more warnings than I have listed here. And the American government were warned time and time again, but they chose to ignore them all. And the consequence was a massive loss of life. You see, just as much as America had been warned that they were going to be attacked, so men and women here tonight have been warned about rejecting the gospel. They have been told from numerous reliable resources that Japan would bomb Pearl Harbor, but when it came to the time, they were found sleeping. They were found unprepared. And so it is with men and women and young people. They neglect the most important thing in life, and that is preparation for eternity. They've been warned so many times, but as things stand tonight, they're not prepared. And there are those sitting in the meeting tonight, and you are in a great slumber regarding these matters. And it's as if the preaching of the gospel just goes over your head. It's as if it just bounces off your ears, and you're not taking heed. You're not listening. And dear friend, I say to love, wake up. Wake from that slumber. Wake from that sleep. Hear the warnings, because you're heading to a Christless hell. You need to prepare. It tells us in God's word, prepare to meet thy God. You must prepare for that day when the Lord shall return. You must prepare for that day when you shall stand in judgment. Preparation needs to be made now. Not tomorrow. Not the next week. Now. Prepare to meet thy God now. The passage that we've just read is a parable about the return of the Lord. It is a parable about being prepared to meet the bridegroom. Being prepared to meet Christ. And I say it again, and don't apologize for repeating myself, there's nothing more important. In the previous chapter, chapter 24, we have the Lord speaking about the end times and the things to come. If you look there, chapter 24 and the verse 30. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And he shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. Then in verse 44 of the same chapter, therefore be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not the Son of Man cometh. Nothing secret about that, is there? Ye shall hear the sound of the trumpet. The skies will open, and therefore be ye ready, for the Son of Man coming. And I want you to think about that. Imagine, dear and safe friend, you sit here tonight, and all of a sudden you hear the trumpet of the Lord sound. And you see the heavens open and the mighty God in all his glory. And then you realize it's too late. You realize that opportunity has passed. You realize that you are not prepared. You're not saved. I was sitting in Josh and Liz today, and the sky lit up. Lightning. Didn't expect it. Just appeared. And that will be the Son of Man coming when men and women, boys and girls, young people don't expect it. And it'll be too late. Now we read of the serious warning of Christ himself. And I believe that you can sense the tone of the Lord in verse 44. I believe it's a personal word to each ear that hears. And tonight I would like you to listen to the words of the Lord. Therefore, be ye also ready. Therefore, young person, be ready. Young person, I plead with you. Be ready. Don't be a fool in your youth. I was on holidays a couple of weeks ago, and we heard the tragic news of one of our neighbor's daughter tragically died through the night. 16 years old. She got up through the night. It was on the news. You might have seen it. She got up through the night and she found it hard to breathe. And she took an asthma attack. And by the time the ambulance came, it was too late. What if that was you tonight, young person? Are you ready to meet the Lord? Are you saved? Do you know Christ? Will I see you in glory someday? Will your mother and father see you in glory? Are you prepared? Don't be a fool. Don't reject the privileges that you've been given. Be ready. Now, where you sit, don't waste one more moment. Don't chance one more second. Now, bow the knee. Young person, I'm talking to you. Bow the knee. Ask Christ into your heart. Be ready.
But then we come to this parable about the foolish virgins. Of course, you all know a parable is an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. And here in this story of the parable of the 10 young virgins, we have a picture of the second coming of Christ. We have a picture of those who were ready to meet the Lord and those who were not. We also have a picture of the result of not being prepared for that great day. When we're told that the foolish virgins were shut out from the wedding feast. A picture of final separation. The five foolish virgins represent the unsaved. Those who are not prepared to meet the Lord. The five wise virgins represent God's elect. Those who are saved, those who have accepted the Lord into their hearts. The bridegroom is a picture of Christ on that great day of the wedding marriage of Christ to his saints. The oil is a picture of the Holy Spirit indwelling in the hearts of God's children. And the first thing I'd like you to notice about this chapter and about this parable is that the foolish virgins did not sense the occasion. They did not sense the occasion. They had been invited to be part of a wedding day. They had been invited to be part of that great feast. But they didn't sense the greatness of that day or of that moment. And they treated it lightly. They never prepared for it. They knew the bridegroom was coming. They even had an idea that it would be around midnight, as that was tradition of weddings of that day. They didn't know the exact time, but they knew that they had to be prepared to meet the bridegroom. They knew that they needed oil for their lamps so that they could see and meet the bridegroom. But yet, despite all this knowledge, despite knowing all these things, despite them being sure that the time was coming, that the time was approaching, that they were getting close to it, they were not ready. They were careless. And how I believe that this is the case for some in the gallery tonight. You know that the Lord is coming. You know that you need to be prepared. You're not sure of the exact time, but you can clearly see the state of the world, and you realize that we are closer to that time than ever before. You realize that your heart could stop in a moment. You realize that you could have an accident and be ushered out into eternity forever. How you've been invited to be part of that great feast of the marriage supper of the Lamb time and time again. You sat in gospel meeting after gospel meeting. You know God's word. You know that you need to be saved. Maybe it's the case that you sat in this church since you were a child. And since you can remember, you've been taught the gospel from your parents. You've been taught the gospel in the Sunday school, in the youth fellowship, in God's house. You've heard it hundreds, if not thousands of times. But despite all this, you're careless tonight. You're careless about this matter. You're careless about the salvation of your soul. And you don't sense the greatness of the occasion. How we read about the two thieves and the cross. One of them sensed the occasion. One of them sensed that it was Christ, the Son of God, beside him. One of them sensed that he was a sinner and he needed saved. One of them sensed that to be saved and to go to heaven, that he had to ask Christ into his heart. He sensed the occasion, he got saved. But yet there was another thief there that day, and he didn't sense the occasion. He didn't sense that it was Christ beside him, and he rejected the Lord, and he made fun, and he mocked him. And is that not what you're doing tonight? Mocking God? Shaking your puny little fist at God, saying, I'll get saved when I want to get saved. I'm going to live the life the way I want to live it. I want to party. I want to drink. I want to go to the clubs. I want to do all that I want to do. I'll maybe get saved when I want to get saved. I'll maybe get saved later on. And as you walk out those doors, you trample under the blood. You're as bad as a thief. You're mocking God. And you'll answer for it. Dear and dear friend, I want to ask you tonight, do you sense the occasion? Do you sense that you're sitting under the sound of God's word and you're being invited to Christ? Do you sense the Lord's presence tonight? We're told whether two or three are gathered together in the name of the Lord that He is in the midst. The Lord is here tonight. In this meeting. He's close by. And he's inviting you through the gospel to come on to him. To be part of that great day. You have no question in your mind, as I said, the Lord is coming. You have no question in your mind that someday you'll meet God. Someday you stand, you accept that. And I know there's many unsaved accept that. But you think there's plenty of time and that you're comfortable because you believe that there's that much time you can sleep through the meetings like this. Dear and saved friend, I want to ask you tonight, as you came into the meeting, did you once consider giving your life to Christ? Why are you here? Is it to keep a parent happy? Is it out of tradition? Do you think that it makes you good to go to God's house? Dear and dear friend, why are you here? Did you consider giving your life to Christ? You don't want to get saved just yet. You're just waiting for that right moment where it'll be a lot easier to get saved and circumstances are better. Hi. I've maybe told you this before, but I worked with a man in shorts in Belfast. And he went to church every Sunday. And every Monday morning, I'd make a beeline for him. And I'd say, well, John, have you got saved yet? And he'd say, oh, he's a very well-spoken man. Not yet, Johnny. Not yet. He says, I'm just waiting for the right moment. I remember one Monday in particular, I seen him at the clock. As we're clocking in, I says, well, John, any good news for me? No, Johnny. No, but I'm getting closer. I'm getting closer, and I think I'm going to get there very soon. I never seen John again. John went home, took a massive stroke, and eventually died from that stroke. We're told in verse 36 and 37 that no man shall know the day and hour of the return of the Lord. It shall be as the days of Noah, where they were just getting on with their lives. They were eating, they were drinking, they were getting married. They didn't think the flood was going. Oh yes, Moses or Noah had warned them time and time again, but they thought there was plenty of time. And they didn't heed the warnings of Noah, and they carried on with their lives. And then the floods came. It was too late. The door was shut tight on the ark. Oh, they hammered at it. They wanted into it. Opportunity gone. They perished. And you're like men and women in the days of Noah. Warned, warned time again. But you're more interested in living your lives, living for the world. We're told in Psalm 9, in the first 17, the wicked shall be turned into hell. And tonight, you need to wake up and sense the coming of the Lord. You need to sense the occasion. They didn't sense the preparation of those around them. How we also note that these foolish virgins fell asleep with the wise virgins. They could see by the example of those who were prepared, the scene that the wise virgins had oil in their lamps. There were five virgins who did sense the occasion, who did prepare to meet the bridegroom. And these foolish virgins were with them. They could see them. They could see the oil in their lamps. But it made no difference. And so it is in the meeting tonight. There are those of us who are saved. There are those who have oil in their lamps. But then there are those who don't. Those who are not saved. And dear and saved friend, you can see by example of that friend of yours or that brother or sister that they have something you don't. You can see that they're ready to meet the Lord. They're going to heaven. And you mingle together with them. You go to church with them. You live in the same houses with them. You go to the same youth fellowship as them. But you're different. You're not prepared. You've no oil in your lamp. They might not be perfect. And yes, they might sin, but they're ready. They're saved. They're ready for that day. They have sensed the greatness of being prepared. But you, dear friend, it's different. Even though you mingle with them, you have no oil in your lamp, and you know nothing of the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. And sadly, you're in that unsaved condition. That phrase in verse 10, and the door was shut, means that they were separated. Separated from the bridegroom. And dear friend, I warn you, there is a day of separation coming. We're told in Acts chapter 17, because he hath appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained. And this verse refers to the great judgment seat of Christ. Everyone who's been born into this world shall stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Billions of people summoned before God. But then there shall be a great separation between the saved and the unsaved. In one majestic action, the sheep shall be separated from the goats. The saints of God shall be removed and separated under the banner of the Savior. But the unsaved shall stand before Christ in judgment. And if you're not saved, if you're not ready, you'll be separated from those who you love dearly. You'll be separated from that dear mother and father who trust in Christ. You'll be separated from that brother or sister who's saved. Could it be the case, parent, that you'll be separated from that dear child of yours because they have accepted Christ as their Savior. But you know what the greatest sadness of this verse is? You'll be separated from Christ for all eternity. All hope is gone. Gone.
Very quickly, I want you to notice then, finally, that these foolish virgins didn't sense the consequence of not being prepared. They were able to sleep without oil in their lamps. They were content in their state. They didn't see the danger of missing the bridegroom. They couldn't see that they would be shut out from the wedding feast. These foolish virgins had no question in their minds, as I've said, the bridegroom was coming and that they would meet him. But they didn't sense the danger. They didn't sense the consequence of what would happen if they didn't have oil in their lamps. And dear and saved friend, have you got comfortable with the fact that you're not saved? I can only come to the conclusion that you have. You sat under the preaching of some of the greatest preachers in this country. You've been pleaded with time and time again, but you've rejected it. You've hardened your heart. And I can only come to the conclusion that you're comfortable tonight with the fact that you're not saved. I want you to think about that. I want you to think how dangerous that is. You're comfortable that you're not saved. Is it the case that you no longer hear the cry of the bridegroom? You're no longer stirred within your heart as you sit under the gospel? You have grown hard towards it and you don't sense the consequence of not being prepared? In fact, you might as well get up and go now, because if you don't hear God speaking to you tonight through the preaching of His Word, there's no point. And that is the one thing that terrifies me when I preach. That men and women and young people can sit under the preaching of God's Word. The preacher can plead with them. The preacher can say, if you, unless you have Christ, you're going to hell. The preacher can preach hellfire. But they don't bat an eyelid. And after the meeting is done, they get up with smiles on their face and they walk out the door laughing as if nothing had happened. The consequence that you must sense tonight, if you're not saved, if you're not a Christian, is that you're going to hell. You're heading to a Christless hell. And this is the danger that you must sense tonight. To get away from the danger, you must sense it. If you're driving 80 miles an hour, and there's a wall in front of you, if you don't sense there's a wall in front of you, you're going to hit that wall. If you don't sense the danger in front of you, you're not going to do any action to remove yourself from that danger. And you must sense the danger in front of you tonight. If you die without Christ, you're heading to a Christless hell. We think of Lazarus and the rich man. The rich man lived for this world. He thought he had everything. Lazarus was a beggar. He fed him crumbs. He treated him like a dog. But we're told then that the rich man died. And in hell, he lifted up his eyes, being in torments. The minute he died, the minute he left this scene of time, he opened his eyes in hell. Gone. Lost forever. No getting out of it. No getting away from the pain. No getting away from the anguish. All opportunity was gone because he didn't sense the danger. But Lazarus, he had nothing in this world. He was given crumbs. But he had Christ. And he sensed the danger. We read that Lazarus was in heaven. And you must sense that unless you have Christ in your heart,
Unless you're prepared to meet him, you'll be separated from him from all eternity, and the door will be shut. Read verse 6 of this chapter. And at midnight there was a cry made, "Behold, the bridegroom cometh." Oh, these young virgins slept without being prepared. They had no oil in their lamps, but then they were awoke with the cry of the coming of the bridegroom. But it was too late. And I wonder tonight, as I close, is this the last chance for someone in the meeting? God speaking. God is calling you. And I wonder if this is your last chance. In Genesis it says, "My spirit shall not always strive with man." As I close, will you come to Christ tonight? Will you be prepared for that great day, the marriage supper of the Lamb? What a wonderful opportunity you have tonight to get saved. You're sitting in God's house. You're sitting amongst Christians. You think of that privilege. You think of the amount of people tonight in this world who don't have that privilege. And tonight, you've heard God's word. You've heard that you need to come to Christ. You heard that you need to be saved. You heard that you need to repent of your sin and ask the Lord into your heart. What a wonderful opportunity. Now here's the question. What are you going to do with Christ? I want you to answer that in your heart. I don't want you to think about something else. I don't want you trying to block it out. I don't want you trying to think of something else. I don't want you to go on. I don't want to hear what the minister's saying. Because I've been there. I've sat in that seat. I sat under my father's preaching for years. And when it came to this point, I was nearly as if I was putting my fingers in my ears. I don't want to hear it. Unplug your ears. I want to ask you a question. And I want you to answer it within your heart. Are you listening to me? Dear and dear friend, are you listening to me? I'm talking to you. What will you do with Christ? Let's bow our heads. If there's any in the meeting that's not prepared, that they're like these foolish virgins. But tonight God has spoken to you. And you want to get saved. Why don't you stay behind? Speak to myself. There's ministers in the meeting tonight. Or speak to our elders. Or speak even to a friend beside you. But don't leave this meeting in an unsafe condition. Young person, I plead to you again. I really believe that the Lord's speaking. But you know, you don't need me. You don't need any of the ministers tonight. You don't need the elders. You simply need Christ. And just now where you sit, simply by faith, ask Christ into your heart. Ask him to forgive your sin. Ask him to make you a new creature in Christ and give your life to him tonight. Make this night the night where you become prepared. Will you do it? Just now. In the stillness of this meeting. Will you get saved? Oh, Heavenly Father. We thank you for thy word to our hearts tonight. Lord, we realize the seriousness of not being prepared. Lord, we realize the bridegroom's coming. And Lord, no man knoweth the hour. And Lord, it scares us tonight. There's those sitting in the meeting who are not prepared. despite all the privileges, despite knowing. Lord, we can't stir their hearts. Oh, Lord, speak to them tonight. Lord, indeed, put that conviction. Lord, remove all obstacles. Lord, I pray that I would call them according to thy will. Call them unto salvation, Lord. Save them. Lord, we thank you for Christ. We thank you for the cross. We thank you that we can be prepared tonight. Lord, I thank you for saving me. Lord, I thank you for that day and hour that you called me, even though I was rebellious. Even though I rejected you for so long. Lord, you left the door open. And you saved me. Lord, I thank you tonight from the bottom of my heart. No, Lord, I pray tonight for the unsaved in the meeting. Lord, that I would speak to them. That I would call them. That I would save them. Lord, take us to our homes in safety. Bless the food which thou hast provided for us. Lord, may we have a good time of fellowship. And Lord, then bring us back again next Sabbath day. We pray in thy name. Amen. Amen.